At the beginning of March, the Goldwater Institute filed a lawsuit against the city of Phoenix on behalf of popular downtown bar Angel's Trumpet. Their argument? A deal they made to build a 19-story apartment building of smaller-than-average micro-units violates the Arizona Constitution. The lawsuit says the city is shirking its duty to uniformly collect property taxes by giving the developers a giblet for this project, or a government property lease excise tax. It's a tool that cities use to give a lower property tax rate to a developer to aid redevelopment in an area. David Swindell is the director of the Center for Urban Innovation at Arizona State University. He has studied redevelopment mechanisms like giblets in other cities, and he says these tools can be seen as a good way of working toward the overall development goals of an area, but many conservatives call this corporate welfare, that it's just the government picking political winners and losers.
There is a strong argument to be made in that case. There's two arguments to be made against these. The economic argument of these, quite frankly, this is chump change. When you look at the size of the local city budget, county budget, state budget, or the size of the local economy, the amount of money that we're talking about is just a grain of sand on the beach. And philosophically, we get into a kind of a challenging area where many people argue that these are picking and choosing winners and losers, mm-hmm. and that's really not the job of the government to do. Now, there are others who argue that in this particular case that this is going to be providing these micro apartments that will be a good target for younger and lower income, relatively speaking, lower income individuals, which we need more of. That's one of the challenges that many central metropolitan areas face right now. And so this is an opportunity to meet that more social goal. But it runs headlong into the philosophical argument that government should not be picking winners and losers by choosing this developer to do this project and get this tax break to do it.
Right. And so this is being debated in the state legislature. And now there's also a lawsuit involving this particular case. So the city will say, though, that this is our only tool for economic redevelopment. So can you kind of contrast and compare a few other cities and what they do with what we have available here in Phoenix?
So let me just your first point mm-hmm. first. They may not have any of these other tax break programs or a very limited number of tax break programs that they can utilize. But there are other ways that you're going to have a much bigger impact on the fiscal health of your local community by building out infrastructure, by building schools, by doing the kinds of investments in the core services that are going to attract more businesses who want to work in that environment, mm-hmm. who want to have workers who are well-trained and capable of doing and making the products that your company wants to make. With regards to what other cities are doing, one of the arguments that city leaders across the country always fall back to is that if we don't play this game, we lose because everybody else is playing the game. So it's kind of like it's what we call a prisoner's dilemma. Who's going to lay down their arms first? And we've been trying, a lot of economists have been trying to convince local and state governments to de-escalate, to disarm a little bit and quit playing these games, because what it does is it allows developers, it allows businesses to play cities off against each other.
Right.
And there's a real information asymmetry when you're getting into these kind of negotiations, because the public, we have to operate transparently. You know our bargaining position, and private entities don't have to do that. So when they start playing cities off against each other, they're in an incredibly useful position with regards to what they say they want. What they want is access to markets. And access to markets is done through infrastructure. Mm-hmm. So if we provide infrastructure, that's going to be the competitive advantage. And then infrastructure is not just physical, like sewers and roads and all that. It's also human infrastructure. Do we have a talented workforce for businesses to, again, bring their product to market?
Okay. And so what outcomes are cities looking for when they offer a giblet? What's success look like here?
We have wrestled with this for decades to try and come up with performance indicators of successful economic development. And there are no agreed upon measures for this. We don't know. And so one of the tools that many cities have begun to put into place over the last 10, 20 years are something called clawback provisions, which says that if you want this 10-year tax abatement, you're going to create 300 jobs over this period of time. And then at the end of that period of time, we're going to see, did you create 300 jobs?
So have you seen a business not meet those requirements that may have been in place?
More often than not.
Okay.
But the challenge is, are the cities willing to go to the mat to extract back the property taxes, because the businesses will say, well, we weren't able to do this because of external factors. But if you force us to pay back those taxes now, we're just going to have to close up shop and we're going to have to relocate to somewhere else. And so they always have that that bludgeon to hold over the city's head, even though the transaction cost of actually moving a business is not insubstantial.
It wouldn't be worth it, probably.
Exactly.
Okay. So the critique, then, of these approaches, and I think one that plays into this particular lawsuit, is this idea that cities are still using these once a neighborhood is revitalized. It's not being always used in an area that's covered in blight. So I guess, when is the right time to stop these incentives in an area?
It depends. And it depends upon a couple of factors. One is, how successful is it doing? And you can actually gauge that in terms of increased property values, or jobs coming to the area, are people living in the area. This is obviously this particular example is a residential project that's under consideration, which is, it's very difficult to say that that's good economic development, because quite frankly, that just doesn't generate a whole lot of tax money. These are where people live. They're not making stuff. And what you need to look at when making a decision about when to stop making these kinds of tax incentive programs in a particular area is to look at the area as a whole. How is the area doing? And Roosevelt Roll's actually been on a roll lately. Mm-hmm. And so it gets harder to make the argument that we need these incentives when, in fact, businesses are already attracted to it. Look at all the other rental units and condo units that are going in around that very area. It's hard to say that it's needing help because it's limping along. It's doing better than it's done in a long time.
So Goldwater's argument here is that if you're going to offer these sorts of tax breaks to certain people, why not just lower tax rates for everyone? So what's the difference there? Is that the same thing?
It's a question of who's going to be the beneficiaries of this. And it's a lot easier to point to like a business developer that is getting a break because their cost of doing business is lowered by this giblet. So you can point to them and say, success. We've got a target. Whereas if you lower the taxes for everybody, yes, you will have the same. You can have the same kind of fiscal effect, financial effect, but it's harder to say, "Hey, look, there's what we did." Because okay, you're saving a couple of bucks on your property taxes or your sales taxes. So it's harder to then point to a success or point to the actual thing that you're doing, and that makes it harder to sell politically.
Lots to watch for then. All right, David Swindell is the director of the Center for Urban Innovation at Arizona State University. David, thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
And the show will watch the progress of the Angels Trumpet Giblet lawsuit and be sure to report updates in the future.